go rebuild my church, which as you can see is falling into ruins. These are the words spoken to St. Francis of Assisi from an image of Christ on the crucifix at San Damiano in 1205 AD. These same words inspired Peter Doan, the host of the program you're about to hear. Peter challenges all of us to rebuild not the brick and mortars of our church buildings, but our personal faith and relationships that will rebuild and strengthen the church. Now here's today's program.
Hi, I'm Peter Doan.
And I'm Leslie Doan.
And you're listening to the radio broadcast, Go Rebuild My Church. Each week in this broadcast, we explore ways to put into practice the words spoken to St. Francis of Assisi by our Lord Jesus, and how this theme is relevant as we seek to bring renewal to the church today.
Our passion for renewal was ignited when we came home to the Catholic Church 14 years ago, and that's when we heard the call to rebuild and joined efforts with many other renewal movements within the church.
You can learn more about our journey home and our lay apostolate dedicated to renewal in the Catholic Church by visiting our website at www.catholicdiscipleshipministries.org.
Our prayer is through the ministry of this radio program and our lay apostolate, we can provide pathways for you to join the rebuilding process and experience renewal.
And we want to welcome those listeners who are joining us for the first time today. In our broadcast, we look at the sacred scripture, excerpts from the catechism, the lives of our saints, and the teaching of the church as we seek to challenge individuals, families, and local parishes to rebuild and renew the Catholic faith here in America. Here, we find ourselves at the beginning of a new year. I've always been one who believes in the importance of resolutions and goal setting in January. Someone once said, if you aim at nothing, you will be sure to hit it. So this new year offers us an opportunity to set some fresh goals in our relationship with Jesus Christ. So today, Leslie and I would like to share what we believe is often a missing piece in the life of Catholic believers. That is an understanding of the gifts that the Lord has promised to give each of us through our baptism and confirmation, and how discovering our gifts can help us find our place in the body of Christ in this new year, Leslie.
I agree, Peter. The new year is a great time to take an inventory and renew our spiritual lives. And it's so interesting. I was looking online and I saw one survey that cited the top four New Year's resolutions for 2024. They were save more money, exercise more, eat healthier, and spend more time with family and friends. And these are all really good personal goals, aren't they, Peter?
Mm-hmm.
But we have to consider how seeking the Lord to understand how he's gifted each one of us to serve him as a Catholic disciple, and how this is critical to rebuilding the Lord's church. So we need to add this.
Right. As we grow in discipleship and our discipleship in 2024, we need to become more and more intentional about what I would say discovering, developing, and then deploying our spiritual gifts to serve and build up the body of Christ.
And this has been a passion for you, hasn't it, Peter?
Yes, it has. So we want to discuss today what I believe is one of the least understood truths that we find as the normal Christian life found in the New Testament.
And it starts with understanding that there are two categories of gifts of the Holy Spirit in the Bible.
Right, and the first category includes the seven gifts which are found in Isaiah 11, verses 2 and 3. And a lot of times you'll hear these gifts mentioned on Pentecost Sunday in the homily. They are piety, fortitude, knowledge, understanding, counsel and wisdom, and the fear of the Lord. Now, the primary function of these seven gifts is to purify us and to make us sensitive to those promptings of the Holy Spirit. When the Catechism speaks about the gifts completing and perfecting our virtues, these are the gifts that it's referring to. But there's a second category, and that's the charismatic gifts or the charisms.
And that's what we're going to talk about today.
Right. While the first category of gifts is more concerned with the individual sanctification, this second category is more focused on building up the body of Christ.
So, Peter, as we pray about how we can serve the body of Christ and be a part of that rebuilding and renewing process, Our focus this year should be on the charismatic gifts or the charisms. So, Peter, why don't you take us into the sacred scripture and the catechism and help us better understand what that teaches us about the gifts that he's given us.
Right. So what indeed are these charisms of the Holy Spirit? There's at least 27 gifts that are listed in the scripture references, and those scripture references include Acts chapter 2, 1 Corinthians 12, that I'm going to read a little bit of later today, and also 1 Corinthians 14, Romans 12, and then a subsection of gifts in Ephesians 4. That covers the broad range of these gifts. And here's a summary of some of these charisms, and as I read them, think about maybe what you've had inklings towards. Administration, celibacy, craftsmanship and discernment of spirits, encouragement, evangelism, faith, giving, healing, helps, hospitality, intercessory prayer, leadership, prophecy, and service. These are just some of those 27 gifts that I mentioned.
Well, I think that there's an important insight that is inferred by St. Paul when he speaks about the charisms in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, he inserts between those two chapters 1 Corinthians 13.
Now, that's very interesting right. to me. Why is that, Leslie, do we think?
The love chapter.
Right.
Well, I believe he's telling us that the gifts or charisms of the Holy Spirit must operate in and through God's love. And he actually says, if we do not have love, we gain nothing.
Right.
So the charisms of the Holy Spirit are given to us, first of all, to share in the life of the gift giver, our beloved Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit. But secondly, they're given in order to serve and build up others in the body of Christ in love.
Lisa, I think it's important for us to share what I really believe is a pivotal scripture that opens up this whole area of the charisms. It's in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11, and I want to take a moment to read it and then point out some of the important words in this scripture. It says this, "As each one of us has received a special gift," and that word, their gift, is the word charism, "employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do it as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen." Now, there's a couple things I think that are really important that really make this scripture come alive concerning the gifts. First of all, that word for each one is the Greek word hekostis, and it points out, Leslie, that Peter is really focusing on each one of us. In other words, these gifts are high-pointed towards each person, brother and sister in Christ in the body. Each one of us has a gift. Secondly, as I mentioned, that word gift is charism, and that word in its Greek meaning means that it's a grace gift. In other words, it's not earned, but it comes to us freely from the Lord. That word serving that is used in this scripture is in the present active participle tense. And what that means to us is that these gifts aren't just used once in a while. Peter's trying to tell us that these gifts should be used continually in our daily walk with the Lord and with his church. And then finally, the word manifold grace that is mentioned in 1 Peter chapter 4 is the Greek word poikilos, which means multicolored. In other words, when these gifts hit the spectrum of our lives and the lives of others, they come out multifaceted and come out and create a real beauty among God's people.
Well, Peter, this certainly gets me excited to know that each of us, clergy, religious, and laity, have received gifts from the Lord, and it's not based on anything we have to do to earn them, but it's based on grace.
Yes.
Okay, listeners, we're going to take a break now, and when we return, we will continue to discuss how setting a goal to discover, develop, and deploy our unique spiritual gifts here in the new year will serve both the Lord and others. So please stay with us.
You're listening to Go Rebuild My Church. This program is underwritten in part by Willie and Deborah Wood in memory of their parents, Woody and Joyce Wood, and Bill and Elsie Brooks. Catholic Radio Indy thanks the Wood family for their support.
An an interview with Father Trenton Rauch and his story on how Catholic radio influenced his vocation.
I was not struck by lightning and knocked off my horse. I had a lot of time driving in the car listening to the radio, and I just gotten to a point where I would prefer to listen to something that would be intellectually stimulating. And at the same time, I was learning about the faith, particularly the apologetics.
Catholic radio, building faith, building vocations.
Welcome back to our radio program, Go Rebuild My Church, and today we're discussing how the new year is a great time to take inventory of our spiritual lives, along with our typical resolutions concerning health, exercise, habits, and relationships, seeking the Lord to understand more how He has gifted each one of us is critical to the rebuilding of the Lord's church. And as Catholic disciples, we're going to focus on what we need to do to discover, develop, and deploy our spiritual gifts in 2024. So, Peter, what in church tradition helps us to better understand this idea that St. Peter was talking about in the scriptures regarding the charisms?
Yes, the Catechism of the Catholic Church has some great sections and paragraphs on the charisms that I think we would benefit if we read those and listen to those. First of all, in paragraph 798, the Catechism says this: "The Holy Spirit is the principle of every vital and truly saving action in each part of the body. He works in many ways to build up the body in charity by the many special graces called charisms by which He makes the faithful," I love this, Leslie, "fit and ready to undertake various tasks and offices for the renewal," and that's what our program is about, rebuilding and renewal and the building up of the church. Beautiful.
It goes on to say in paragraph 799, "Whether extraordinary or simple and humble, charisms are graces of the Holy Spirit which directly or indirectly benefit the church, ordered as they are to her building up to the good of men and to the needs of the world." And I really like this one because it talks about how some of the charisms are very simple and humble. And I thought of the charism helps, Peter, which is the ability of someone just to provide practical help or assistance and support to others in the church in just a selfless way. And I think that that's kind of a behind-the-scenes charism.
Yeah, a lot of times that happens in the background and we don't even notice it, but I know something the Lord does for sure. And then in paragraph 800, it says this: "Charisms are to be accepted with gratitude by the person who receives them and by all the members of the church as well. They are wonderfully rich grace for the apostolic vitality and for the holiness of the entire body of Christ, provided they really are genuine gifts of the Holy Spirit and are used in full conformity with authentic promptings of this same Spirit. That is in keeping with charity." We talked about that, 1 Corinthians 13. "In keeping with charity, the true measure of all charisms."
Well, those three paragraphs, Peter, really help us see that each of us are called to pursue the gifts of the Holy Spirit in order for the church to be rebuilt and renewed, which, as you mentioned, is the theme of our program.
Yes.
So what next do we need to do to discover and develop and deploy our gifts?
So as we grow in our discipleship, we need to become more and more intentional about these things of discovering and using these gifts to serve and to build up the body of Christ. We see how important this was in the Apostle Paul's letter to the Corinthians, and we see how we are to discover, develop, and deploy these gifts. So now, summing up the catechism that we just read, Leslie, it's a cooperation with the Holy Spirit. The gifts and the charisms are for the sake of others, very important to remember that, they're received with the Holy Spirit in baptism and confirmation. They're empowered by God, and they become instruments of His providence. So a few months ago, we interviewed Sherry Waddell that does a beautiful workshop in this country and worldwide called the Called and Gifted Workshop.
And she focuses primarily on discovering your charisms.
Right. And I want to mention a few things that she says in this workshop that I think are really important. First of all, charisms are our personal cooperation is needed. We need to cooperate with these, with God, to discover and deploy all these gifts. And what do we mean by that? To be received with thanksgiving and consolation is pointed out in her seminar. Secondly, each person is to have knowledge of and discern his or her own charisms. In other words, we have a responsibility to dive into this thing and delve into it. All have a right and duty to use the charisms. Not only should we discover them, but we have a right and duty to use them. I think that duty is towards the Lord and towards our brothers and sisters. It calls us to be active and co-responsible. And finally, in our charisms, each person makes a total unique contribution. In fact, Scripture says, the eye cannot say to the ear, I have no need of you, in the context of the gifts. There's also characteristics of these charisms, Leslie. First of all, they're long-term and they can be developed. I kind of think of the acorn becoming an oak tree. We start out as an acorn using our gifts, but these over time and in our lifetime can develop into a full-blown oak tree. Also, they produce results above and beyond our natural abilities. They're focused outward, as we're mentioning, and they're received from God. We don't choose them. God does.
Well, I know oftentimes there's a lot of confusion around charisms and natural talents. Is there any way we can distinguish between those two, a charism and a natural talent?
Yeah, I think that's a very good point, that a lot of times we kind of collate the two and say that there's not distinctions, but there certainly are. First of all, natural talents can be inherited, of course, from our parents. Secondly, though, charisms cannot be inherited from our parents. They are given, as we mentioned, by the Holy Spirit, particularly in our baptism and confirmation. Natural talents can be used purely for our own benefit as well and for the benefit of others, but charisms uniquely enable us to be an agent of God primarily for the sake of our brothers and sisters and others outside our own personal life.
However, Peter, in the life of a Christian, natural talents and charisms can work together. For example, you and I have talked about the example of someone who has a talent of a beautiful voice. They can use that talent together as a charism, serving as a cantor at Mass.
Yeah, so they may have the natural talent of a beautiful voice, but then also the gift of serving that allows them to release that in the church and in the liturgy, right?
Right.
Yes.
So once I've discerned my charism, I don't want to bury it in the sand. I want to go out now and look for opportunities to serve the body of Christ. How do I know that my charism is being developed and deployed?
Right. There's a way, I think, for us to see that these charisms are working. First of all, there's a Holy Spirit energy that's released. Remember when Jesus functioned in his gifts, a lot of times it would say the power is released in coming through him. Also, when we manifest the gift, we begin to see that we've found our place. It shows us that we're a part and we have a spiritual identity. We start to feel more secure in the body of Christ. The gift becomes fruitful and effective without undue struggle. In other words, we don't have to really work at the gift. The gift comes through the power of the Spirit and comes through very peacefully. Finally, this is a caveat. These charisms are released by the Holy Spirit. In other words, we do not turn them on and off when we want. The Holy Spirit controls all the action.
Okay, we're going to take another break now, and when we return, we will continue to discuss having a goal this year of discovering, developing, and deploying the spiritual gifts that the Lord has given us through our baptism and confirmation. So please stay with us.
You're listening to Go Rebuild My Church. This program is underwritten in part by Willie and Deborah Wood, in memory of their parents, Woody and Joyce Wood, and Bill and Elsie Brooks. Catholic Radio Indy thanks the Wood family for their support.
If you scan across your radio dial, you'll find that it's pretty full. There are lots of stations on the air. Some play music, some try to shock you with the outrageous things they say. Others talk around the clock about things you might or might not be interested in or agree with. But there's only one station that keeps the teachings of the Catholic Church on the air 24/7, and you're listening to it right now. You can help us keep this station on the air by making a contribution at CatholicRadioIndy.org or by calling us at 317-870-8400.
You're listening to the radio program, Go Rebuild My Church, and today we are discussing a New Year's goal that can definitely benefit every Catholic disciple, and that goal is for each of us to discover, develop, and then deploy the spiritual gifts that the Lord has entrusted to us. We just reviewed Sherry Waddell's principles on discovering your charisms from her workshop called Called and Gifted. So, Peter, what's next?
So, Leslie, I'm also indebted, as we talk about this area, to modern scholars such as Father Killian McDonnell and Father George Montague for their insights from their book, Christian Initiation and Baptism of the Holy Spirit, Evidence from the First 8 Centuries.
You've got that book on your bookshelf.
Yes, for they point out the intimate connection between the sacraments of initiation and the gifts of the Spirit, both in Scripture and in the writings of the early church fathers, which I love. They say it is only when Christians appropriate in an experiential way the graces they first received in baptism that they can receive the more remarkable charisms. And I use this study in this book a lot, Leslie, in one of my courses when I was working on my Master's of Theology degree.
Well, Peter, it sounds to me like what they were saying is that in some cases we're not even aware that we have received charisms at our baptism, and then we're not using them in any real way. So, Peter, many of us are also not aware that the Second Vatican Council had some important things to say about charisms and their importance for each of us as Catholic disciples. So what kind of things did the Council focus on?
Yeah, so in our research, it was really exciting to find that the Vatican, too, had a lot to say about the charisms, and let's go through some of that. First of all, in a prophetic way, the teaching of Vatican II anticipated future events when the bishops mentioned the charisms in two of their documents, the Constitution of the Church and, in paragraph 3, the Constitution of the Laity. And it seems to me that the teaching of these documents and more recent encyclical, the Vocation and the Mission of the Laity, in paragraph 24, can be summed up in some of the following points. First of all, grace comes to us not only through sacraments and clerical ministry, but also through the charisms mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12.
So we're missing grace if we're not walking in the charisms.
Yeah, exactly. Also, the Holy Spirit distributes ordinary and extraordinary gifts, that's mentioned in the Catechism, among lay people as well as priests.
So they're not just reserved for the priests.
Right. Thirdly, these gifts are given to build up the church and to develop people, and we've mentioned that several times here today. Next, these gifts are to be received with gratitude and consolation. So that's one of the things that we can begin to thank the Lord for, Leslie, is that he's called us and to be a gifted people. Next, the laity have a right to exercise their gifts and their ministries. The right comes from their baptism and not from the clergy. That's interesting. Vatican II pointed that out. Next, lay people have a duty to use their gifts for the good of the church and the world.
Well, this one really struck me, Peter, because a duty, in essence, is a moral or a legal obligation. It's a responsibility. It's a task or action that someone is required to perform. It's a requirement for us.
Yes, and as I think about it, really, that duty is first of all towards the Lord and then also towards our brothers and sisters. And finally, Vatican II taught us bishops and clergy should test the gifts to ensure that they're genuine. However, they should not quench the Spirit by an arbitrary or the use of authority. Very interesting.
Well, I think a great way to end our segment today is to emphasize the why of all we are sharing. Why is the New Year's goal to discover, develop, and deploy our spiritual gifts important for every Catholic disciple? Peter, why did you pick this one as a good New Year's goal?
Well, let's go again to that lay apostolate led by Sherry Waddell, the Gift and Called Workshop, and they teach, how should we discern my gifts? How can I do that, and why should I? First of all, God is calling us to a work of love that will fill our life with purpose and joy, and discerning our charisms can help us discover that call. That's pretty important.
Well, this reminded me of a book that was written several years ago by Rick Warren entitled The Purpose-Driven Life, and this was a bestseller. Millions of copies were sold, both among evangelicals and Catholics.
Right.
And it focused on the quest for personal fulfillment, satisfaction, and meaning, and and it really focused on the fact that this can only be found in understanding and doing what God has called us to do on the earth. In other words, called us to discover our charisms.
Right. Next, knowing our charisms that have been given can greatly clarify our decision making and give us some divine guidance. If we're going through a life transition like retirement, changing jobs, reentering the job market, and so on, we might find that gifts of discernment helps us decide what turn to take next. Next, understanding our charisms can help us simplify our lives and avoid burnout. That's pretty important these days. If we know our gifts, it becomes easier to say no when people ask us for things that we don't really have to give.
Besides that, when you're functioning in your charisms, that's energizing and fulfilling. And it really is going to help you not be much less likely to burn out.
Next, discerning our charisms can help us excel on the job. As Catholics, we're called to excel in every aspect of our lives, including our jobs. Discerning our charisms can help us discover how God has gifted us to make us more effective at what we do for a living, even.
Right. So it might really support one of your personal goals to have a more successful year on your job.
Yes. Next, understanding our charisms can free us from the need to compare ourselves with others. I like this. That's beautiful. If we find that we judge ourselves for not measuring up to the standards of others, we can be freed by recognizing that our giftedness and calling makes a difference and is different from theirs. Then finally, the discernment of charisms can help us understand and name what we are already experiencing in our spiritual lives.
Okay, Peter, well, we know that the church is calling us all to rebuild and renew the church this year, and our charisms do empower us to play an essential role. So will you please pray for us?
Yes. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you so much that in our baptism and confirmation, you've given us gifts, these charisms, that we can begin to develop our own spiritual identity, but even more so, to serve our brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. Please fill us with the Holy Spirit in this brand new year and help us to discover, develop, and deploy our spiritual gifts and extend the kingdom of God on earth. We pray this in Jesus' name, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Well, thank you, listeners, for joining us today as we seek to connect you as individuals, your families, and parishes to the rebuilding and renewal of the Catholic faith here in America. And make sure to become a regular listener of Catholic Radio Indy. Goodbye for now, and
keep the faith.
You've been listening to Go Rebuild My Church with Peter Doan. Podcasts of this program are available at www.catholicradioindy.org.
You can hear the Holy Mass every day at 8 a.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.